arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me, Lord. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by thy power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. And the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. Yes, Lord. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me near, Lord. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious leading side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. Oh, there are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me near, Lord. Draw me nearer, oh, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, oh, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious. Sing that again. Draw me near. And draw me nearer, Lord, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, Lord, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side, and he is Lord. Yes, he is Lord. He has risen. Oh, he has risen from the dead, and he that that Jesus Christ, He is Lord. Sing it to our Lord again. He is Lord. Oh, and He is Lord. Yes, You are Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead. And He has risen from the dead. And He is Lord. And every knee shall bow. And every tongue will confess that Christ is. Amen. March, lift your hands and sing one more time with all your heart. He is Lord. And He is Lord. I'm glad You're my Lord. Oh, He is Lord. Lord, You've risen. Oh, He has risen from the dead. Let's give Him a round of applause, saints. He's your Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So glad He's my Lord. Amen. Amen. We don't have any announcements other than just a reminder of the fellowship today at my place. Need directions. Amen. If you don't have any food to bring, you're more than welcome to still come. She'll have plenty of food. But it'll be out there at my place whenever you get there till whenever you leave. So no time limits. Amen. Amen. We also have one prayer request here. Actually, we have two. From Brother Dustin, Sister Claire fell earlier this morning. She said she has a big bump on the back of her head. Please pray for a healing touch from God. Amen. So keep her in prayer. Also keep Brother Bill Sanders in prayer, man. I think they said he had cancer on the liver. We know that's just the devil, a spirit that's trying to get at him. We believe God's going to raise him up and then make him go in this rapture. Amen. Amen. Which is ask Brother Simon. Lead us in a word of prayer, amen. Also the tithes and the offerings.
Oh, too, I wanted to announce we did get the CDs from Brother Brooks and Brother Randy. They're in the back. They're like $15, I think, a piece if you'd like to purchase one of them. So they finally came in. So let's just bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, God, Lord, we're here together, Lord God, just gathered, Lord, and Lord, to remember every soldier, God, Lord, of the cross, Lord,
yes,
that went
Lord.
Before us, God, Lord, causing this nation, Lord God, and we can go to Hebrews, Lord, the Old Testament, Lord, the New Testament, Lord, and see soldiers, God, that have tread before us, God, and
yes,
give them
Lord.
Their lives, Lord, and they put You first, God, and give You 110%, God, Lord, everything they have, God,
yes,
Lord.
Lord,
we're closing, Lord. We're wrapping up this book, God, Lord. We're at the end times, Lord, and we want to go out like soldiers they were, God, Lord, Jesus, Lord. And we have, Lord, greater promises, God, Lord, than any of them have ever seen, God,
yes,
Lord.
Lord.
Lord, we just want to be faithful, Lord, to the end here, God, Lord, that we could, Lord, receive those promises, Lord, Jesus, God. And the Bible says they're precious promises, God, Lord, Lord. They've been given to no other age, God, but our age, Lord, Jesus, God, Lord, to see a body change, God, Lord,
yes, Lord,
to reach adoption, God, Lord, to all these special things, Lord, with a third pole, God, Lord, and Lord, just to be Your bride, God,
yes,
Lord,
Lord,
just amazing promises, God, Lord, and Lord, we are looking forward to receiving those, God, Lord, we're believing, Lord, with all the faith You've given us, God,
yes, Lord.
Lord, for all their prayer requests, God, Lord, Sister Claire, God, touch her head, God, Lord, and make her whole, God, and Lord, Brother Bill and Sister Karen, God, Lord, just fighting down there, God, Lord. Lord, probably surrounded by demons, Lord, but Lord, you're more than powerful, God,
yes,
Lord. You're
Lord.
More than able, God, to deliver, God, every situation down there in the name of Jesus Christ,
amen.
God, Lord. Lord, just be with our pastor, God, as he brings the word today, God, Lord. Bless the song leader and the musicians, Lord. And bless Brother Dave as he brought the little Bible study there this morning, God, Lord, dealing with prophets, God, Lord. Help us, God, Lord. Lord, make us alive, God, in this
yes,
word,
Lord.
God, Lord. Help it to live in us, God, Lord. We
yes,
love
Lord.
You, God. Bless the tithes and offerings. And we ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. I also talked to Sister Karen on Friday. She said to greet everybody, tell everybody that she loves everyone and that she appreciates all the prayers going up and just to keep them all in prayer. Amen. But she said she loves everyone and amen, she appreciates everybody. Amen. And let's just sing that song. Amen. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Amen. How many just desire just more oil, just something? Say, Lord, I'm kind of dry this morning. I want to be completely filled with oil. I want that oil so soaked with oil, that wick so soaked with oil that it'll just burn with a very little spark. Amen.
Amen.
And give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp. I pray. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me burning till the break. Sing that again. Give me oil. Just give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp. I pray. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Oh, now sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Give me oil. Just give me oil. Yes, Lord, that's our desire today, Father. Just give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning, burning, burning until the break of day. Everybody sing, sing Hosanna, just sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, just sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to. One more time, sing Hosanna, just sing. Sing, sing. The King of Kings, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Oh, and God has given us the victory. Oh, God has given us the victory. By the word I saw the light, and through the power of his might, oh, God has given us the victory. The victory, the victory, the victory. Oh, God has given us the victory, the victory, the victory. Oh, God has given us the victory. Oh, God has given us overwhelming joy. I'm glad about it. Oh, God has given us overwhelming joy. By the word I saw the light, and through the power of his might. Oh, God has given us overwhelming joy. Overwhelming joy. Yes, Lord. Overwhelming joy. Oh, yes, God has given us overwhelming joy. Have peace, amen. The whole world don't have it, but God has given it to you, amen. He's blessed you today, amen. Amen. Let's just sing that song, Hallelujah Anyhow. When destruction comes your way, just tell that devil, I'm gonna lift my hands up, say Hallelujah Anyhow, amen.
Amen.
And Hallelujah Anyhow. Oh, don't let the devil get you down. Oh, when destruction comes your way, hold your head up high and say, Hallelujah anyhow. Once again now, Hallelujah anyhow. Oh, don't let the devil get you down. When destruction comes your way, hold your head up high and say, Hallelujah anyhow. Time, Hallelujah. Hallelujah, anyhow. Oh, now don't let the devil get you down. Oh, now when destruction comes your way, hold your head up high and say, Hallelujah, anyhow. Amen. Just sing that song, He's Everything. He's everything to me, amen. Is He everything to you this morning, amen? And He's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's my father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything to me. Sing that again. Oh, yes, He's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's my father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything to me. He's everything to me. He's everything. He's everything to me. Oh, I love Him, adore Him. I lay my life down for Him. He's everything to me. Yes, He's everything. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything. He's everything to me, and I love Him, adore Him. I lay my life down for Him. He's everything. Sing that again one more time. Oh, yes, You're everything. You're everything to me. You're everything. You're everything to me, and I love You, adore You. I lay my life down for You. You're everything to me. Yes, He's everything. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's my father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything. Amen. Why don't you greet your neighbor? Sing that again. Yes, He's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's my father, my sister, and my brother. He's everything to me. Oh, yes, He's everything. He's everything. He's everything to me. Yes, I love Him, adore Him, and I'll lay my life down for Him. He's everything to me. Oh, yes, He's everything.
He's everything to me, and I love Him, adore Him, and I lay my life before Him. He's everything to me. One more time now, yes, He's everything. He's everything to me. Well, He's everything. He's everything to me. Yes, He's my Father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything to me. One more time now, yes, He's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's my Father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything to me. Amen. Praise Him, saints. Amen. You're worthy, Lord. Amen. And we'll just sing that song as our pastor, Brother Cam, would come. Lord, lead me on to higher grounds. How many are looking forward to going to higher grounds? Amen. Amen. Christ has laid that way for us. Amen. We're walking up that pyramid daily. Amen. All the way to the top. Maybe get harder, but amen. It's worth it. Amen. Amen. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. Faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay. Yes, Lord, where doubts arise and fears dismay.
Lead me on to high. Sing with all your heart. Higher ground. One more time, oh, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Amen. Let's give Lord an applause. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Amen. Just going to move right into the word this morning. Voice still a little bit hoarse from Wednesday by the grace of God. Did some yelling, some excitement. Amen. Good to have the presence of God come down and visit. Amen. But missing quite a few today, but we just keep them in our prayers and ask God to bless them. Oh, we do have Sister Ashley here. Well, praise God. Sister Ashley's graduating today. And thank God. Some of us say thank God for that. Some of us don't. But I'll tell you what, I'm glad I've left that high school train. I don't know about some of you, but when I walked out them doors, I said, I don't think I ever want to come back. So by the grace of God, we pray that's all right. But I want to move into a little bit of thought, a very, very giant subject this morning, but just want to speak a word and just have the Lord have his way. Then we'll get right over to the fellowship and enjoy our time with one another on this day. If you had your Bibles, we'd like to go to Psalms 27, verse 1. Maybe we'll start in the fifth verse, brother. Psalms 27:5 says here, it says, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Amen. Let's move next to Colossians 2:9, and we're going to finish off in Exodus 29. Colossians 2:9 says here, it says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Amen. Last verse, Exodus 29, 45 and 46. Good to hear the pages of the Bible turning. Amen. Sounds like you know where you're going. So praise God for that. Exodus 29, 45. Says here, it says, and I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here this morning, God. And Lord, allowing your presence to be here, Lord, we just appreciate that, God. And Lord, as we move ourselves aside this morning, God, we just ask that you'd speak, oh God, now to your children, God. We ask, God, you'd allow your anointing, God, the same anointing that we felt Wednesday, God, to be here this morning, God, the same God that we desire that was there, God. We desire you to be here today, God. We just ask, God, you'd certainly, Lord, fill us with the utmost of thy presence, God. And God, may we receive the word this morning, God. We pray you just strengthen us, oh God. Give us that which we need to hear, God. And God, Lord, though there would be a few out, Lord God, we pray you'd anoint and touch everyone that wasn't able to make it this morning, God. Oh God, many are traveling, oh God, and many are not able, God. We just pray, Lord, that the Holy Ghost, God, would move on their behalfs, God. And Lord, just send special blessings in their life, no matter where they be, God. We just ask God this evening or this morning, God, you'd certainly, Lord, bless this time, God, as we move on into a fellowship, oh God, with one another, oh God. Lord, certainly, God, hereby you'll know, you said in your word, hereby you'll know that they're your disciples by their love, God. May the love of God dwell here, God. We just pray you'd certainly have your way, God, as we wholly and fully yield ourselves to you now. In the name of Jesus Christ, the bride said together, amen. You may be seated. Amen. If we had maybe a title this morning, getting into the service, we would like to maybe entitle it, In the Secret of His Tabernacle. And we want to make that title a little bit longer and say, The Shekinah Glory. Amen. So we want to move into this thought this morning. It's good to see Ramiro here this morning too. God bless him as well. Amen. And good to see everyone that seems to be overcoming in Christ. Amen. Amen. We had a youth meeting on Friday night. I thought it went really good. I just think I started getting tired. Them young people, they can go all night long. But, you know, once you start getting a little age on you, don't have too much, but you just kind of start getting, your eyes start hanging and your brain starts shutting down. But anyway, we do thank God for the time we had. We had a real good Bible study. I felt a real good anointing even when we were doing a Bible study. So I thought that was really nice. Amen. But we pray that the young people were blessed. Amen. Now I don't know if we need to have an adult fellowship too or what. But anyway, we just enjoy God, enjoy His presence, enjoy His children. Amen. So anyway, in getting into this morning, we'd like to, like I said, go into the thought of the secret of His tabernacle and working with the Shekinah glory. But we'd like to just move upon this thought, and we don't mean to be too long this morning because we know people have places and things to do. But we do want to perhaps just bring a little thought that might be a blessing to you, because I believe that when you look at a child of God, there is nothing finer than to know that God is with you. Amen. And so much is the fact that we don't want a God that's just in His Bible, so to say. We love that God, but we want a God that can be in the here and the now, a God who's alive, a God who can speak. You know, the type of God that you know when you talk to Him or when you pray, that He's actually hearing that prayer, amen? That He's actually not just hearing it, but He's already, what? He already, by His omnipotence, by His omniscience, He knew you would pray that, and He allowed you to pray that because He knew He could answer that for you, amen? So this is the type of God that we want. We want the type of God who is alive, amen? Hallelujah. When he told Mary and Martha, He said, I am the resurrection and the life. We want the type of God that is alive, amen? Amen. Not just a God that can sit there and just hide Himself from you, because we know that God is a God that hideth Himself, right? But we know that there are types of people that can actually go beyond that hiding place and actually find the living God Himself. Hallelujah. Amen. You say, brother, this is simple. Yes, it's as simple. But could you imagine a God that walks with you? That talks with you? Amen. Now, this has been the whole point of this church even being here, is that you could have the living waters with you, right? Hallelujah. A God that you know on a personal name. You don't just say Jesus Christ and that's just something from the Bible. But when you say Jesus Christ, you're talking about somebody. Amen. You're talking about a person. Amen. So notice as we get into this, and I want to maybe jump through this as best as we can. And I realize I will not be able to touch even a slight amount of this. But I want to perhaps just bring this thought to you just to allow you to know what God's desire was, His intent. Okay, so we want to maybe look at Colossians 2:9 very quickly here. As we see that, of course, how God would manifest Himself to His children. He would be God the Father. He would be God above man. He'd be God the Son. And He would be dwelling with us, right? And then lastly, He would be what? He'd be God within you, which would be the Holy Ghost, right? But these are God's. Now notice what these are. These were God's dwelling places, okay? And we're going to, like I said, work with this a little bit just so we can perhaps bring ourselves a little closer to God. Amen? Amen? I don't know about you. When I come to church this morning, I said, I want to be closer to God. Amen? Now notice here in Colossians 2:9, it's talking about Christ, and it says, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, I want to perhaps just work with this thought just a little bit, because remember what it says of Christ. It says of Christ that the fullness of the Godhead bodily would dwell with Him. He was that fullness, and it dwelled in Him. Now, you see, we're working with a thought this morning, because what does dwell mean? It means to reside, an abode, or to abide. It means that the fullness of God would dwell in Christ, okay? So all that God was, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, it would dwell in Christ, okay? Now, notice, Christ also means anointed. So notice here, all of God would dwell in Jesus Christ, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And notice in the 10th verse, it says, and ye are complete in Him. So it actually gives you a location that your completion is in Him. So where the fullness of God would dwell, you would be complete there. Okay? That you would become all that you were made to be on this earth right there. Hallelujah. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So God, who is above all, goes before all, stands above all. This God, he has made a way to place the fullness in you. Okay? Now, I want us to maybe jump now into a little bit of a change of direction. It's the same, but I want us to look at this very quickly here. Now, in looking at Shekinah, we realize that Shekinah is actually not a biblical word. It is extra-biblical, kind of like rapture. It is an extra-biblical word, but the meaning of that word is inherently expressed right in the Scripture, okay? Okay? Because remember, to be raptured is to be caught up. Rapture means caught up. Okay? But notice Shekinah is not in the Scripture. Okay? But the word Shekinah literally means the dwelling or settling of the divine presence. So a lot of times we say, okay, the Shekinah glory. We say, okay, that's a cloud. Well, that's what you've been taught. The Shekinah is the cloud. But the Shekinah is a lot more than that. Now, if you actually look in the Old Testament, you'll find a root word of Shekon. And that word actually means to settle down or to abide, dwell, or reside, which is basically where you see Shekinah being derived from, as some would say. But anyway, you see, Shekinah is a word that means that God is dwelling with you. Okay? So now notice this as we get into how this thought works out. You see that God's desire was to dwell with you. And in the Old Testament, he had this presence that would come upon individuals, and this presence would be called the Shekinah. But it was a presence, an indwelling presence, as well as a presence that would just reside. Now, remember in the Scripture in Exodus 40, if you'd like to go there with me. He says in Exodus 40, verse 31. Now, we're talking about God dwelling, because remember, when God come to Israel, he what? He showed them that he was God. Okay? Here they were stuck in Egypt, and literally, they didn't see God. They were caught up in Egypt. You will never find God in Egypt. As long as you by your own satisfaction dwell in Egypt. Remember, it was not Israel's desire to leave Egypt. God had to make them uncomfortable to get them to cry out for a deliverer. They were satisfied to be in Egypt. Remember that what? That God literally allowed them to abide in Egypt because the promised land had dried up. So they went and found a different habitation, and they found a contentment in being in Egypt. But show me, where was the presence of God in Egypt? The presence of God was only found one place, and that was when it was abiding in Joseph. To fulfill the time. Why? Because Joseph ascended to the right hand of Pharaoh. Israel had the fullness of their blessing right there. But notice when it passed away, that eventually, 400 years, we would find themselves trapped in Egypt to slavery. But notice that. Why did Israel go to Egypt? Because they were starving to death. So Joseph said, brothers, pack up all your stuff. Bring my daddy down here. We're going to set up shop here. So we can wait out this famine. But they never left. They stayed right there. They stayed in the presence of Egypt. And because they stayed there, we don't see them crying out to God. You know, it's so interesting that you will find literally that any people that comes under the influence of another culture, they become just like them. You look at Muslims that come into this country. For the most part, they ain't jihadin'. And like just the ones that we seen do the Boston bombing, they had literally took a trip back to Russia where the fanatics were. And then they come back and brought these things forth. So they had to be inspired by something, but this culture they could not receive it from. Isn't that interesting? Just like Christianity. They've what? Christianity was the influence. But now what? They took God out of the schools. They took prayer out of the schools. They took God out of everything. And now where's God? He's nowhere. Why? Because we've went back into Egypt. And notice where Christians are. They're satisfied to be in Egypt. Completely satisfied. You don't hear nobody crying out for revival. You don't see nobody wanting to live by the Bible. But it's always, God loves me. Right? God will accept me for who I am because God knows my heart. God knows your heart. In the Bible, He said it's wicked above all things. And He said that you will follow my word. If you love me, obey my commandments. We went on that trial. We went there, didn't we? So notice, it has to come to a place where God would allow Israel to fall under a place where they were not satisfied. See, God was with Israel, but they were not in where they're supposed to be. So God had to pull them out. But notice that, and this is where all this comes out, because where was the dwelling? Where was the Shekinah made known? Amen. The Shekinah was made known in the coming out. Amen. Not in the abiding of the world. So in order to come into the Shekinah, you would have to be coming out of something. Amen. You would have to be sick and tired of the world. Amen. You would have to be sick and tired of your life. Hallelujah, if your phone is what it is causing you to die, you have to be sick and tired of your phone. If it's a TV, you got to get rid of that TV. Why? Because the Shekinah is looking for a place to dwell. You know what the greatest thing about it is? God allowed Israel to get in a place they cried out. And when they cried out, God sent them a deliverer. And God didn't just send them a deliverer, but He actually allowed His presence to go with it. Okay? So now, I believe we turn to Exodus 40. In the 31st verse, it says, "And Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and their feet thereat. And when they had went into the tent of congregation, and when they came near unto the altar, they washed as the Lord commanded Moses. And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work." Now this was the establishing of the Old Testament tabernacle. This is right when it was finished. And notice here, it says in the 34th verse, the work was finished. Then in the 34th verse. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Okay? And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Okay? Now, I'm actually going up to something, and I'm going to come back, but it's because it's part of the scripture here. I hope it's okay. In the 36th verse, it says, and when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, fire was on it by night, in the sight of all Israel and throughout all their journeyings. Now, I want us to move back just a second here with where we're showing, is just to see that when Israel was led out of Egypt, they had what? They had a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And it literally led them. The coming out, the Shekinah was on them. The Shekinah was to be with them, so that they could what? They could follow God perfectly. Amen. It was the perfect leading. The existence of that Shekinah was proof that they were on the right track. If the Shekinah wasn't there, there was something wrong. Hallelujah. Because notice what this is talking about. Now, this is a little bit further on, I understand. But notice that when they had established even the tabernacle, that the cloud, it would be what? It would be on the tabernacle, but when it would lift up, it would actually start moving, and they'd have to follow that cloud. Now, I'm showing you this to show you the characteristics, because it must be that if you are on your journeyings, there must be a Shekinah leading you. Amen. They did not wonder if the cloud was there. At nighttime, they did not wonder if there was fire going to be there. It was there. It was proof that they were the children of God. So notice what we're actually seeing here. We're actually seeing that God literally, He would allow His presence to be with them all the time. And notice the significance of all of this is that which was once turned, what? Spiritual, was at first natural. And remember what Shekinah means. It means to dwell on. God found a place to dwell. And when He saw the children of Israel, He said, I have found a place to dwell. But notice, because you have to see this, because the tabernacle, Let me say it right. Because they could not be filled with the Holy Ghost, they had to build them a house. They could not, what? They could not receive Him on the inside because Christ had not come. So because Christ could not come, they could not be filled with God. So they had to have a physical manifestation that God was in their presence. You say, I wish I had that today. What you have is greater than that. Why? Because the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth on Him, and you are made complete in Him. The fullness of the Godhead bodily, everything that God was, dwelt in Christ. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, It puts everything that God is in you. What are we saying? That this should start to bring us to a place that we don't wonder about everything. We don't have to wander about everything. I mean, maybe I'm just a little simple in my thinking, but I guess when I look in the Old Testament and I see that God, He could allow a people to be perfectly led. There is no question whether God was moving or not. And it was only done by the Shekinah glory. God Himself. It's okay? Because here's the thing, we say, okay, why don't God talk to me? Why don't God do all this? Well, God is meant to talk to you. God is, He is meant to lead you. Because when God doesn't do that for you, it takes away everything He was in the Old Testament. Do you see that? Literally, God is meant to lead you. Which means whether you hear something or you feel something, there has to be something that allows you to know your direction. Now remember, what is the secret place? Where is this coming back to? Because remember, now in Psalms 27, verse 1, says the Psalm of David, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Now, this is expressing something. This is saying, okay, if God is your light and my salvation, what is the light for? It shows you where to go. What is a salvation? It takes away your unrighteousness. So if God is all of this, the Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? See what kind of God it is? You got sound effects today. That's all right. But notice, you see that if God, now, why would God bring David to a place that he would say, "Whom shall I fear?" Isn't that absolutely amazing? Remember, the scripture says that David was a bloody man. He did nothing but fight battles. And here he comes around and he said, "The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" This is a revelation. This is an existence that God is what? God is a Shekinah dwelling. God is a Shekinah presence. He dwells. And David knew that where he was, he'd be all right because he was ordained. He had a placement in the Word. And as long as he was in his placement, there wasn't one thing that could touch him. Don't you realize that David's placement was vague? God told David that he was going to be king. He didn't tell him when. He did not tell them how. God did not show him anything but just the word from an anointed prophet. And when the word from the anointed prophet, what, when it come to him, what'd it do? It made light of his commission. The word made light of his commission. And when the word makes light of your commission, how should your revelation be different? Are you a master of every circumstance? You should be. Should not the Shekinah presence dwell on you? Show me where, when they're traveling through the wilderness, that Satan could ever take down Israel. The only way he could do it was to get them to move into the folly of their own unbelief. But now, remember, where's our righteousness? Where's your law? Don't you understand why this is an unconditional covenant? Because only God can put you in. And if he puts you in, then the Shekinah is promised to be there. Because notice, when they left Egypt, they had the Shekinah night and day. It led them night and day. It led them to places where it looked like they could go no further, right up to the Red Sea. Did not have a chance. It looked like their life was coming to an end. Yep, looks like God's done working with us now. The Shekinah would lead them right up to an obstacle that they thought they could not overcome. Well, think about your natural walking up to a river, Maumee River. You say, I got to get to the other side. What are you going to say? Well, I need a boat. I need help. I need to go walk up on this bridge and walk across. Right? But what if you don't have any of that? And the Shekinah, it was testing them by what they saw. They watched God bring plagues into Israel, completely almost annihilate Egypt, brought them down to their knees. They watched God bring a prophet and anoint that prophet, and they're able to follow that prophet right out. He brings them right up to the Red Sea, the same Shekinah. And all of a sudden they say, let's go back to Egypt. Can God do more than what you think God can do? Right? If God is good enough to do 10 plagues and all this, and he brings you up to a place that's just as impossible as that, can he do this? You see where your faith starts moving into question here? Because you have to show that you believe that God is an obstacle moving God. No matter what Satan brings, the Shekinah is made to get you to the perfect end. It's there to split Red Seas. It's there to take that thing you can't overcome and allow you to sit there and wait and wonder. But it's actually there for you to get the revelation of Moses. Here's the thing. You're not coming in at the beginning of this thing. You know how. You have, just like he said it was in Christ's mystery God revealed, he said you have the devil's answer. The power of the resurrection. So everything that Satan throws at you, you have the answer. Do I just deal with, am I just preaching to perfect people that have no problems at all? Am I just preaching to perfect people who have the Shekinah all over them saying, oh, I've already been here, I got this going on? Because what should this make you do? This is trying to show you that there is a way. The way is not too hard for you. The way is not, it is not, it's not out of vision. It is right before you. And it is so simple that if you could only receive it, that same Holy Ghost would dwell on you. That same Shekinah. You think about that? Literally, God would allow himself to be on a natural show. Watch this. Moses, build the tabernacle. Build the instruments and place the instruments within the tabernacle and without. Place everything in order in that tabernacle. And when it was finished, the scripture said, Then the cloud settled down. Well, don't you realize that there's a cloud that could settle down on you right now? No, we talk about Azusa Street and how you could hear the angels singing in the background. Well, I know you're all a bunch of perfect singers, so you don't need angels. But what if you had the ability to have those angels here? Wait a minute! If they could do that without the revealed word, what could God bring you with the revealed word? But the problem is, the revealed word is not on paper. The revealed word is in you. You have to manifest this presence. You have to show this God lives. You have to accept Him for what He is. He has promised this to you, and He made it such a vague offering that literally all you got to do is say, God, I need you. Be nice and sincere. And not just sit there and say, okay, I didn't feel anything. But put some substance behind that. Say, oh, I want a deeper relationship. You say, okay, I'm going to have my relationship right now. All David knew is that he was king. Do you realize that Goliath was not in his category? He did not even suit up for the battle. He was a shepherd boy for his father, and his father said, go take him some food. What? It doesn't have to be laid right in front of you. Because if you are anointed, you'll see your place. Where's your place? Wherever God sends you. God sent David out there like that. And David comes up and sees a bunch of sissies in the Israeli army. And he literally comes right out. He says, who's this? Why ain't they fighting? What's going on? Why have we not defeated the enemy? Why does it look like the enemy still has a foothold? And what happens? His brothers say, oh, you shut up, little guy. You got nothing. So you're just a shepherd boy. You're not even old enough to fight with us. Oh, hallelujah. Do you realize that that was the devil's attempt to hold him back from God's real plan? Amen. But notice, something moved inside of him. He didn't say, you're right. He didn't say, whoa, who's that big guy? Who's that Goliath over there? Yeah, I think he's a little bit big for me. He walked out here and said, you're not tackling him? And this guy is saying, what about my God? Oh, you want to get, oh, you say you love God. Everybody and their brother saying Jesus Christ, cursing your God all day long. Just like Israel. It's okay. He's a giant. He can curse my God. I think about that sometimes. You know what? When somebody was calling my sister a racial slur one time, he's about 6'4". Played Division I football for Bowling Green. When I heard that, I know. I haven't really shrunk much, okay? But I went right up to that man the next day. I said, hey, you said something about my sister, pal. If you don't go make that right, me and you are going to have some problems. And yes, I'm still alive today. Here's the proof. Here's the proof. I still don't know what's up on me. I ain't never fought a battle in my life. All I know is that guy shouldn't have said that to my sister, and that's fighting words. I was a little on the worldly side, but I thought, by the grace of God, God's using it nowadays. I said, me and you are going to have a problem, buddy. He said, oh. He said, well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I didn't realize it hurt her feelings. No, no, no. I think he went, did he end up making that right? I don't know if he did. I think he did. Yeah, and that's where he left. He backed right down and said, oh, boy, this guy's got something. Like a little chihuahua. You watch out for chihuahuas. They'll fight for their master, won't they? But what was it? I got to a place, and it didn't take much, but someone said something about my sister, and that to me was offensive. That was my flesh. That was my blood. That was my sister. Ooh, hallelujah. Get me ready to fight right now. What's the difference? Satan has brought all these obstacles right in front of your face. You sit here and say, oh, I don't know if I can do this obstacle. I don't know this. But there is enough in a carnal man to take on somebody twice his size. What could you do with God? Amen. What is it? You got to understand what you're packing. Amen. You have to see what God is to you. Amen. Is God alive or is he not? Amen. David did not look at the size of the giant. He looked at the size of his God. And he knew that the giant was not established and God was established. Sure, Goliath might have won many victories over all these lesser armies, but he's never fought this God. Well, what about your God? You're not fighting with some false God. You're fighting with the living God. What mountain's too big for your God? What's the thing? When are you going to make God live? You want God to make himself live in you. You want God to do everything. When you're not willing to make the move to even allow him to exist. You know what starts out? It does start out with your faith. You say, okay, you hear a sermon or you have a good prayer in the morning or something and you say, oh, hallelujah, I feel great. Oh, God, I feel like I'm renewed, Lord. I'm ready to fight now. Then you walk right out. You don't do nothing. You stay in the condition that you were in. Not realizing when God moves into that realm that he renews you. That's your time to fight. You have to make God live. Well, wait a minute. I just don't get it. What's the thing? Remember, God, he had orders with his tabernacle. The duties had to be kept. The sacrifice had to remain current. And if it remained current, then the blood was applied. Serving God was an everyday situation. And in order to keep that God there, all the commandments he gave Moses had to be fulfilled in that church. The Levites had to do this. The high priest had to be doing his role. And if it wasn't working right, then God was not obligated to fulfill his portion. Am I preaching to somebody today? Do you want the presence of God or do you not? Do you want the gifts of the Spirit or do you not? Do you want the gift of the Spirit? Have you asked for them? Are you asking for them? Amen. Are you looking for God to be on display? When you come in here, are you expecting God to come down? Well, you know, we got a lot of people out today. It's just got to be one of those services, you know. That don't mean anything. That just means that there's a little more people that don't have to get in one accord, which means we have a smaller amount of people to get in one accord. Praise God. So what? So God is still here. Because remember his desire. His desire we read in Exodus 29. It was what? I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. This is not Old Testament just alone. This is everything in the New Testament. Everything. I will dwell among them. My Shekinah will be with them. But what are you going to leave here with? What's going to lead you today? Come on! Like I said, where is your justification for walking around blindly? Do you understand what faith is? I mean, do you really understand what this is about? In the Old Testament, God made a visible manifestation of who he was so they couldn't miss it. And all they had to do was to place faith on the visible manifestation he gave them. He told the prophet, he said, when the cloud goes up, follow that cloud. The cloud settles on the tabernacle, just keep it right there. Oh, brother, why in the world are you saying this? Because do you understand what this has come to? Your visible manifestation has now become a personal manifestation. You don't need to have God put a cloud up in here and you walk by it. You don't need that anymore. And to be quite honest with you, what you have now is more greater than that. Do you wonder if you're the children of Israel? Because everything has to be by sight? Because notice, remember what I just said. In the Old Testament, they placed faith on the visible. Well, what's the difference now? The difference now is you're placing faith on the invisible. And the invisible is inside of you. Well, don't you get it? There's a God that when he gives you the Holy Ghost, he gives you signs. He shows you things to come. He places everything in your path. And here's what I said so astounds me above everything is that even I, and I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, are in this condition, that so many times we're wondering what God wants us to do. I had somebody send me an email yesterday, and I'm like, oh boy, what a curveball. I say, oh God, now what? Now what do I do? And I say, well, I know what to do. I'm just going to do this. And I got a conviction coming. I say, wait a minute. I'm not here to make all my choices. I'm not here just to judge something and to make a rational decision off my judgment. But I actually have a substance which was made to operate by a presence. Do you understand that? If you have the Holy Ghost, what do you have? You have the presence. Is the presence supposed to be become less manifest or more manifest at the coming of the Lord? Amen. You tell me. Because if God is going to make himself less manifest, that means you have to do everything by faith. But if he becomes more manifest on a spiritual level, you will just what? You will not be guessing, but you'll actually have something what? More enabling you to find the will of God. Well, what is the rapture? The rapture is when you have been enabled to see who you are. It has enabled you to see your path. There's a presence. What is a presence? It is something that abides. In John 15, he said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He said he would make his abode in you. Okay? So where's that abode? Where's God at? You see where all this is coming down to? Does God talk to you or does God not? And I'm not just saying something you hear. I'm saying I'm leading. Sometimes you hear it, sometimes you don't. I talked to a preacher. My brother told me, he said, I can't tell you how many times. He said, God will give me a thought. He said, God will come and give me a thought. And then right after he gives me a thought, he said, I'm starting to build stuff up. That voice will come to me and say, you're not going to finish this in one service. Well, what are you trying to say, brother? What was it? Did God tell him what to preach? Not necessarily. But God told him. God gave him an unction. God let something strike him. And he moved on what that was. And then God, he didn't just let it strike, but he come and told him, you're not going to finish it. Well, what is that? What is that? That is the Shekinah. Because you see, just because you hear something doesn't mean it's from God. Just because you feel something doesn't mean it's from God. Just because there's some sort of a sense or, I'm kind of thinking that this is right, that does not mean it's God. But notice, even in Moses' day, it does not mean that there is clear skies every day and no clouds. But they just had to be conditioned to be able to see the cloud. Why? Because when the cloud moved up a little bit, they knew they could follow it. So all they would have to do is what? It's not on the tabernacle. It's time to move. Where's it going? See, we really think that God left them no mystery at all. You ever think about that? That God would so make things so obvious for them that even a monkey could follow them. Right? Curious George could get this figured out, right? Without making a problem. That's not possible. Everything he does is a problem. Okay? But you don't think there's a challenge behind that mystery? Because what is the whole purpose of all this? Is you being able to know what is your leading. You see, when you're in this church, okay, I'm the pastor, okay? So I get ministers in, I schedule events. Sometimes people come and say, boy, that'd be nice to have this. Well, let's do it then. And we just keep on going. Well, you follow exactly what your pastor's telling you to do. Pretty simple. Okay? But it has to move past that. That's part of it. But it comes down to what is God telling you? You know, it's amazing. I've moved by faith a lot. And I always find it so amazing when God vindicates that the leading was right. Every service, I have to choose what I'm going to preach. And you know this. I'm different than every preacher because I feel like I have to know what God wants me to preach. Sometimes I don't always find it. Sometimes I just get a little something. I say, well, this must be it. I say, God, put your blessing on it. I don't know. But then I watch, and God completely comes around and vindicates it. So that must have been it. Thank God, where's the leading at? God, what's this? When you've done all that you can to make sure that you're standing in the will of God. God, I want to follow you, God. When you just don't make the obvious choice. Well, you know, he asked me to go to Snyder's tonight. That is an obvious decision. I'm going to eat pizza tonight. What if I actually challenged that? See? Well, brother so-and-so invited me over. I know this is the will of God. What if instead of going by that? You see, we just let everything become all so common to us. I'm literally preaching to you this morning about letting God have his way. Giving God his say. Because the difference between the manifest cloud and the Holy Ghost is that this is obvious. It's sitting right there the whole time. But this is inside of you. You can't always see it. You can't always feel it. But if you've received that Holy Ghost, if he's strong in your life, he's there. How can I allow this God to do what he wants in my life? I want to know what he wants me to do. Oh. See, isn't that so powerful? That God, he has designed you to be in perfect fellowship with him. When he said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. You know what that means? That is literally stating that there is a connection between the vine and the branch. They are perfectly tied together. You don't see when you walk outside, you don't see a tree branch hanging there and it's separated from the tree by 2 inches. And then you walk out later and it's connected right back in there. You don't see that. Well, why? Because God is trying to show you that when you have received the Holy Ghost, the connection has been established. You haven't broke the connection, but the only thing that shows the connection is whether the life that's coming from the branch. The connection is not lost, but the branch will manifest what it's receiving from the connection. If the leaves are green, there's a good connection. If there's fruit there, it shows there's a great connection. If the leaves are withering, there's a what? There's something wrong with the branch. The branch isn't able to pull from the tree that right. Well, you're the one that's connected with God. I'm connected with God. But my connection is not your connection. Your connection must flourish on your level. It must work off your position. Your predestinated place that God has placed you. If it's not there, then what? It will be weak. Right? We're not talking about grafting things in. We're talking because Christ ain't talking about grafting in John 15. He said, you are the branches. You are that branch. You have that life. See how simple this is? We're talking about the Shekinah. We're talking about a presence. We're talking about an indwelling. Well, what's moving through that tree? The Shekinah. Where is the Shekinah? The Shekinah is in you. Your prophet said the Shekinah is the Holy Ghost. Now, can I go just a touch farther? Now, I better finish this real quick. Back in Psalms 27, notice in the second verse, it says, when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Okay? Though an host shall encamp me against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. So notice, he talks about the Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Where's God? God's in you. You are a God-man. God is in you if you receive the Holy Ghost. If you desire to die from your will, die to leave Egypt. So notice this in the fourth verse says, one thing have I desired of the Lord. Notice the desire. That will I seek after. This is what I'm seeking. This one desire. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in His temple. See that? We started by showing you that it was God's desire to dwell with the people. But what happens when the people want to dwell with God? The Shekinah was made to dwell in. But it has to work both ways, and you have to want to dwell with the Shekinah. You have to want God. You have to want God to lord over you. You have to want Him to tell you what to do. I think more than anything else, and this is just me, I really think that God doesn't tell us more what to do because we don't want God to tell us more what to do. We got a plan, we got a schedule, we got things we want to do. Because of that, God cannot fully become our Shekinah glory. He can't come in because we are making up way too many of our decisions. We don't ask God. We don't inquire. David said to inquire, to see His beauty. Oh, I'd love to see the beauty of God and see all those fruits of the Spirit dwelling in me. Oh, that love, joy, peace. All that right here, just dwelling right here. God, that's what I want to see. What is that? If it's the fruit of the Spirit, it's the glory of the Shekinah. In another place, your prophet said, he said, the glory of the Shekinah. He said, what is that? He said, that's divine healing and miracles. It is what? It is an evidence of the presence. The Shekinah is your presence. Oh, I love God. Now notice this, your prophet, he used this in the rapture message. Psalms 27, come right out of here. Notice it says, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Did you ever think to wonder what that means? He said in the trouble he'd hide you. But notice, he said he would hide you in the secret of his tabernacle. What was the secret of the tabernacle? Was it the laver? Was it the brass altar? Was it the table of shewbread? Where was, what was the secret of his tabernacle? Where was David saying God would hide him? Let's go a little bit farther with this. Ezekiel 7:22. Let's just establish this. Because you say, oh, trouble's coming. We all know trouble's coming. We all know that this world is ready for judgment. I was just reading something last night. And I was wanting to study the Roman history. And they said that the history of the fall of the Roman Empire is so many little things that happened. But one Italian theologian, he wasn't even a theologian, excuse me, historian, come out. And he said, I'll tell you exactly what was the fall of the Roman Empire. He said it was the rise of homosexuality in the Roman Empire. He said it killed him. He said it weakened the civilization so much that it destroyed him. Now, I'm not trying to say too much there, but I just want you to see what's going on now. You know what? If you're against that, you'll be going to jail one of these days. And I love them people. I want them to find the same love I found. Not some filial love, but the love of the Shekinah himself. So anyway, in Ezekiel 7:22, it says, my face will I turn also from them, and they shall pollute my secret place. For the robbers shall enter into it and defile it. Now, they're talking about something here. Now, notice this, that you literally have a secret place of God's resting. We say, well, boy, what could they take? Well, they could take away everything. Notice that Israel had become so backslid that Babylon, or excuse me, the Philistines could come in and take the Ark of the Covenant. They become that backslid that God would not even protect the Ark. When the Ark returned, what? One man touched it and killed him. But here the Philistines come in. They pick up the ark and walk off with it. The scripture says that Aaron, you could not stay too long in the holies of holies, because if you were there, you would die. Yet the Philistines walk out with the Ark of the Covenant. It stays in a man's house, right next to Dagon for years. Doesn't affect nobody. Isn't that interesting? The Ark of the Covenant won't do a thing. The Holies of Holies won't do a thing to the world. But to you, it's everything. And here he talks about this secret place. He said, you profane it. You'll steal it, you'll rob it, you'll clean it out. What is a secret place? Where is God going to hide you? What is the secret of the tabernacle? The secret of the tabernacle is the holies of holies. It's where the presence is. What do you think this is coming down to at the rapture? That you are in the secret of the tabernacle. Amen. Or the secret of the tabernacle is in you. Amen. Last scripture, Job 29, verse 1. I like this. It says here, moreover, Job continued his parable and said, oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me. When his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness. Notice he's talking about victorious life. Notice he says here, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. When the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me. Job talked about a place where he had complete victory. Things were going great. The Almighty was with him. Not just with him, but he recognized he was with him. And what he calls this, he says this was the secret of God was upon his tabernacle. Amen. Now notice he says upon, but in this day it is within. The secret of God is in you. The secret of God, the secret of the tabernacle is the holies of holies. But within the holies of holies, if the Shekinah does not dwell there, it is not that special of a place. It is not a secret. The secret of God is in you. Let's stand. So what is this saying? Don't you understand what this is saying, church? This is so powerful to me. Because he says here, now notice, this is Job's identification that God is with him. The secret of God upon his tabernacle. What's the sign of that? God preserves him. The candle shining upon my head, the light is there. With his light, I walk through darkness. Same thing Israel had. Same thing. They didn't have to wonder where they were going at nighttime when God told them to move. The fire, the light was there. The Almighty was with him. You say, how do I know where I'm at? How do I know what I need? How do I know where I'm seated at, God? God, show me. God, give me something. You see why you have to find the secret of the tabernacle. You have to be hid there. Because when you're there, he can do everything he wants to you. He can preserve you. He can lead you. He can let light in your life. He can show himself as the Almighty in your life. See? Oh God, this is what I want. See, what is the purpose of all this, saints? You allowing God to make himself known where he wants to be made known at. God is not interested in being made known in a church. I must say that. I really mean that. You say, brother, what are you trying to say? God is not interested in this being some sort of a church. Because the establishment of the church has left. And now it is the establishment of God himself in the people. Amen. What is a church if God is not inside of the people? Well, that's why you look at every other church and you see them why they are the way. They're custom, they're formal. They got programs. That's all it is. But what makes a church a church? When God is inside the tabernacles. When the secret of God is inside of you. He must show Himself in you. How is He there? See what I'm saying? Tell me where to go, God. Tell me what to do, Lord. Show me what Your will is. God, I want to know. Israel didn't move unless God told him to do that. See where you should be at? You say, oh, I love God. Okay, is God telling you what to do? You see where this comes into the place? How are you going to get to a place that you can use a third pole? What is the third pole? Where is the third pole established? The third pole is completely and entirely established on you being tied in with the vine. In you hearing what the vine wants you to do. In you placing faith in what the vine is giving you an unction to do. He may not just tell you. He may just give you an unction. But it's always there. What is the third pole? It's the manifestation of the sons of God. But what is the third pole? It is the person making his full expression inside of you. How many would say, God, I need the full expression. God, I think I see what the brother's trying to say. God, I want to judge my decisions by something inside of me. I want to judge it by this word, the hearing of this word, the allowing of the washing of the word to lead me. I don't have to wonder what God wants me to do sometimes because it's right here in His word. But I might need to know where I need to go because I might have two leadings. See? I want to do what God wants me to do. Well, where is the Shekinah? The Shekinah is dwelling in the people who are baptized in the Holy Ghost. If you say, God, I want to know, God, that baptism is there. God, I want to know so much that I feel You there, God. I know that You're leading me there, God. Lord, I feel You when You tell me to pray, I go pray, God. When You tell me to do all these things, I do them, God. It's not just because, but it's because You love me and I love You, God. And I want You to take full control of this vessel. See, it's all about being a prisoner, church. Everything comes right back around to it. Is that your desire this morning, this afternoon? Would you like to pray? Let's bow our heads. If you have a need of God, just pray to Him now. Just tell Him. Tell Him what you want. Say, God, if this is what You fed me with this morning, God, I want to receive this word, God. I don't care who's here and who's not, God. This is all about me hearing what You have to say to me. And me, God, being established in the secret of Your tabernacle. Place me there, God, as we bow our heads. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God. Lord, as You see, a little simple message, God, I'm not much of a preacher, God, but Lord, God, when the Holy Ghost comes and speaks to the church, God, I believe it's very fitting, Lord. And God, I pray as this is the greatest desire in my heart, Lord God, as I believe it should be in every believer as well, God, that, Lord, You would, oh God, become the fullness in our life, God. You, Lord, would speak in these vessels, God. Oh God, that You would veil Your presence behind this badger skin, God. And Lord, we just ask God, as Lord, we're on the way, God, to allowing the third pole to move in our life. Oh God, take control of these vessels, God. These vehicles, God, which You can drive, Lord. Allow that dynamics to strike these vehicles, Lord. We want to yield to You in a higher way, God. We don't want to be satisfied by just doing what we do in our lifestyles, God. But God, we want a God that we can answer to, God. A God who can tell us where to go and what to do. God, would You completely reign over these vessels, God? Lord, this church will never be anything until God, You, come into every vessel, God, and dwell there, Lord. God, we know, God, that, Lord, You are still in the business of filling Your children with the Holy Ghost. You've been doing it for over 2,000 years, God. Or for 2,000 years, God, we just ask, God, that You'd certainly, oh God, allow us, God, if we have this Holy Ghost, God, let us yield to it, God. Let us do what you tell us to do, Lord. Let us inquire in this tabernacle, God. Let us go right to the secret, oh God, and hear from you, Lord. Oh God, people aren't interested in knowing God, but God, we're a people that are interested, Lord. We want to know you, God. We want to listen to you. We want to receive you, God. Give us all our heart's desire, Lord. I pray today. Lord, move upon us, Lord, even now. As we yield ourselves to you now, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you need prayer, I'd be happy to pray with you today. I pray you just hear what the Spirit was trying to utter to you today. That this is not impossible. This is not too far. This is not something I have to wait up here for. But it's right here. And God, I want to walk into it. Take your mountain. You were made to dwell with God in the mountain. It's yours. Amen. I like how one man, one of the commentators, I believe it was Gill, said, he said about Job, he said the secret of God was in his tabernacle. He said that was the communion. He said that was that bond, that special relationship between God and man. He said that's when the power was most on Job. He said Job was crying out there because he didn't have it. God had placed him in a place where he was no longer in the full blessings of God, but he had left that. But oh church, if we could get to that hedge, God, put me in that hedge, Lord. Oh, we've got fellowship coming, church, but what is fellowship? What would fellowship be if we could all bring our God to fellowship today? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing a song. If you have need to pray, I'd be happy to pray with you today. If you need more God, don't be ashamed to ask God for more. Don't put yourself in a place you don't deserve that. You do. Because God made you for that. You deserve all of God. Because that's what he made, and you're complete in him. You're complete with all of God inside of you. Let's just sing that song. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I love you, Lord. I lift my voice and sing that. And I love you, Lord. Oh, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul rejoice, take joy, my King, oh in what you hear, oh may it be a sweet sound, oh, in your ears. I love you, Lord, and I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to
what you hear.
more that I surrender, the lighter my load. And the more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more that I release my cares, the more you take control. And the more that I can humble myself, the more you lift me up. And every day I live, Lord, I love you more. The more that I surrender, the more that I surrender, the lighter my load, the more that I release my cares, the more you take control, and the seeing all of you out at my place. Amen. Those who can make it. Amen. Just let go and let God have His one.